There's one thing I know, is that the Word is good. Do you agree with me? The Word's good. Oh, the Word's good. Praise God. Yeah. Some people do not have a revelation of what He's done for you. Because if you did, it would show up in your worship. Some of you don't even know that you have what you have solely because of Him. Some of you are unaware that the very blessings, the very health in your body, the very favor that you have is a direct result only because you're His. Or because somebody that you know has used faith that God's given them and the avenue to bring it. And if you knew it and realized He's your answer, and if you were to see what your life would be like removing Him, oh, would you praise Him? Woo! But you just don't know. You just don't know. You just don't know. And we act like He's done nothing for us. And we are apathetic in our worship. And we are casual in our worship. And we're flippant in our worship. When the King is in the building. The King's in the building. Jesus is here. And I shudder to think if at times we would worship the way we would worship, the way we worship if you could see the Master with the holes and the hole in His side and the nail prints in His feet and the scars from the crown of thorns on His head, standing there in all His glory. Is that how you'd want to worship Him? You just don't know what the Master's done for you. Say, Pastor Mike, get off my back. Never going to happen. I will always be on your back to try to pull you higher, praise God. Yeah. We will not be an ungrateful church. Bringing our attitudes and our just casualness to the throne. No way. Can't do it. But I understand that people just don't know. They just don't have a revelation. But my goodness, how your life would look different. Some of you don't even know. But I just told you. Praise God. Go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Nothing wrong with a spanking to start the day. I mean, that gets you set in the right direction. You just take it like a man or a woman. You'd be fine. Cry it out a little bit. We're good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, help us to be more aware of Your presence, of Your goodness, of who You are in our lives, the role that You've played, the role that You're playing, and what You're willing to do for us going forward. Father, forgive us in our casualness. Forgive us in our acting flippant towards You and just mundane towards You. Forgive us. It's not right. It's unacceptable. You paid too high a price. You sacrificed too much. So forgive us when we're this way, Father. And I pray that people would get a revelation of all that You are, all that You've done and all that You want to do in their lives. Father, You are so good. You just love us so much. And Father, giving us Your Word is such a demonstration of that love. We're so thankful for the Word. It is our help. It is our answer. It is our guide. It is our comfort and our peace. It is our light. It is our lamp. Help us this morning, Father. Nobody came to hear what I think. We all know before You, there wasn't much really impressive about me as a human being. Don't have great degrees and don't have much eloquence in my speaking, but we have the anointing here, and that's what we cling to. We have the Holy Ghost here. We have the Word of God here. So help us to hit bullseyes this morning. And I thank You that things will be said. Lives will be changed, Father. Pitfalls that people are headed for will be avoided. New paths and new directions. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was thinking about, I didn't even tell you this. I was thinking about this in worship, you know, messing up the song there in the beginning. On my way to church this morning, which I've only driven it for 10 years. I go through Jamestown, you know, then I get on the 86 and I get off at Kennedy. I was singing so loud in my truck. You should hear how good I sound in my truck. I don't know what happens up here, but you should hear it in my truck. And you know where else I sound really good? In my bathroom in the office. The acoustics in there are really good. So I go in there in the morning. And so if you're in the bathroom in the morning over here, the wall's right next to mine, you might hear me in there singing. And you're like, my goodness, sounds like angels in there. That's just what it sounds like to me anyways, in my ear. And I was singing so loud in my truck on the way to church. All of a sudden I started looking around thinking, this almost looks like the route I go to Allegheny. I missed an exit. I just kept going and going. I think, oh, man, I got to turn around. So I made it in time. But so just caught up in him today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 4:24. And Jesus, I just think it's going to be a good service today. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be a good one. Jesus said unto them, take heed. Now, one translation says to be careful. Now, this is Jesus. Listen, when I tell my kids to be careful, it's because I don't want what the danger lies beyond the not being careful would bring to them. So when I say to them, be careful, I'm saying it like from a passionate standpoint of a parent of, I don't want you to fall into something or experience something that's unnecessary, and if you'll be careful, it won't happen. So when he says be careful, again, if the word means anything to you, if Jesus means anything to you, we ought to take notice at these words. Oh, what do you want me to be careful of, Master? Jesus, what do you want me to be careful of? Well, he tells us. Be careful, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it will be measured to you, for and unto you that hear more shall be given. But notice what he says. He says, it is important that you take precaution and you're very careful with what you're allowing in your ears, what you are listening to in your life, the voices that you allow to have prominence or precedence in your life. He says, be careful. Now, I made the statement last week, and this is where this message was born out of by the Holy Ghost. I didn't preach this last night in Allegheny. God gave me a whole different... You know what's so amazing about the Holy Ghost? Is last night in Allegheny, almost everybody that comes to the church that's somewhat regular and faithful was there. And the Holy Ghost gave me a message yesterday about faithfulness and faithfulness in the house of God and faithfulness to show up, faithfulness to give, and faithfulness to serve. Well, what was interesting is, had just all the regular faithful showed up, they're already all doing that. But a lot of people have never been around this or that are newer, they weren't there. And the Holy Ghost knew exactly what to say to bring them higher. And he doesn't want me to share that here. He wants me to say something else. So he's trying to get a point across to us. But last week I made the statement, I said there's very few voices that Pastor Mike Anderson allows to have any kind of an impact in my life. Why? I just happen to believe Jesus when he says, be careful what I'm hearing. There's a lot you can hear. There's a lot you can listen to. There's a lot of voices out there. There's the voice of media. There's the voice of thoughts from the enemy. There's the voice of people. And Jesus said, you better be careful what you're listening to. Well, there must be a pitfall or a problem if you're not careful. Well, we know Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith. Faith, what is faith? Faith is belief. Now, the verse that really we talk about faith around here is Mark 11:23. Jesus said, whatever you'll say, you'll have. Well, he didn't say it only works in the positive realm. Right? We saw death and life's in the power of the tongue. The tongue can create destruction just as much as it can create life. Well, he said you'll have what you say. It'd be nice if he said, you know, the wrong things you say and the bad things you say and the doubt and unbelief things that you say, that won't affect you. But no, he said you'll have what you say. Well, we also saw a couple weeks ago that out of the abundance of the heart, with the heart man believes, the mouth will speak. So whatever we're believing, we're speaking. Whatever we're speaking, we're having or creating. And he says that faith comes, belief. Now again, we just established the truth that belief can be for the wrong things. There's some people that are, you have full faith your money's never going to change. Come on. There's people that have full faith that the medication they're on it until they die. They have faith in that. That they believe that the diagnosis from the doctor, that's it. They have complete faith. How do you know? That's faith. Yeah. It's directed in the wrong place, but it's faith. And so he said, faith comes. So again, faith can be for good or faith can be for bad. Faith cometh by hearing. Well, that tells us why Jesus would tell us to be careful. He's saying you better be careful what you're hearing, because whatever you're hearing is going to turn into belief. It's going to turn into a solid foundation for you, whether good or bad. That's what he said. Go with me to Mark 5 and verse 25. I want to show you how this works, good and bad. Mark 5, 25. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? We're going to talk about that. We're going to see what the Bible says. And Mark 5, 25 says this. And a certain woman, which had the issue of blood, I'm not going to read down through this whole thing, but I want to read the first three verses, suffered many things of many physicians, verse 26, and spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. What's that called? Hell on earth? All her money's gone. 12 years, she's getting sicker and sicker, blood condition, getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Desperate, she's a social outcast. We've talked about her. She's in hell on earth. And being a social outcast would keep her from wanting to ever go out in public. And anytime she's gone out in public to the doctors, they've just taken her money and not helped her anyways. She's in a bad place. You can imagine mentally, physically, emotionally, it's a bad spot for her. But you know when everything changed for her? Everything didn't change when Jesus was in her town. Jesus, everything changed for her because we know that it wasn't Jesus tracking her down. It was good that he was in her town, but that's not what started the change. Verse 27 tells us, when she had heard of Jesus. Well, what must she have heard of to get her out of her house in the weak emotional, financial, physical, social position that she was in? She must have heard, he's your answer. People are getting healed by this guy's ministry. Lives are being changed. People are being set free. When she heard of Jesus, what? She got out of her house, went through the door of fear outside into the world that she's not allowed. Looked at the crowd following him and saw, I can't see him, but I know he must be right through that crowd, knowing I got to touch those people to get to him. But she heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind, touched his garment. She heard, and what happened? Faith rose up in her. And it changed everything. She heard the right things. Now what if she would have heard, he's not interested in you. He doesn't heal these kind of conditions. Say, is that a thing? Oh, you don't know what churches teach. Healing's not for you. I had a minister. I didn't know very much back then, but thank God I knew a little bit. When God told me to go to Rhema Bible Training Center in the fall of 2003, before I went, I was working out at a gym with my dad, and I was on a treadmill, and the pastor there, the gym was at a church. And then the pastor knew I was called to the ministry. I'd talked to him a little bit, and I said to him, I said, or he asked me, what do you think you're going to do? I said, I'm called to go to Rhema. He said, oh, that school that teaches divine healing? I said, yeah, that's the one, you know. And he said, you know that's not biblical, right? That's what he said to me, a pastor. Now, back then, I wasn't going to get in a debate, or even, I didn't have, you know, much knowledge, you know, except for what was already put in my heart, but, and it just sat wrong with me. But I was filled with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't. Makes all the difference in the world. And I just knew, I didn't maybe have as much chapter and verse as I have now, but I had the Holy Ghost, and I knew what he was saying was wrong. He said, you know that divine healing stuff's not biblical? Well, you'd think he would give me some scripture on why it's not. I said, why? I'm pretty sure that's what the Bible says. You know, I've been in church for a little while now. My pastor's taught it, and I know a little bit of something. He said, no. He said, Sister so-and-so was in my church, and she loved the Lord. She was the most faithful person we had. She served in every department, you know, that she could. She always was one that was making food for people. She was a prayer. She loved the Lord, and she died of cancer. And he said, well, if God was a healer, if there's anybody who's going to heal, it's going to be her. So what he did was based his belief on healing based on a person and not the word. But my point is, that's what he's teaching his congregation. What if she would have been taught, he doesn't heal those things. He's not interested in you. It would have got in her. Right? Well, think about the, we won't turn it for time's sake. On the other hand, it worked good for her. She heard the right things. What about the children of Israel? God told them in Numbers 13, this land is yours. Well, then they said, go send out the 12 spies. Well, 10, usually the majority rules. 10 came back with a report that said, it's a good land, but we can't have it because X, Y, and Z. Even though God said you can have it, and there was still X, Y, and Z there. But they came back and said, we can't have it. And Caleb and Joshua, two of them, said, we can have it. We can have it. But the 10, when Caleb and Joshua spoke up, the 10 then spoke up and said, no, 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 there are giants in our land. And 2 million people. That's how big they estimate the congregation was of the children of Israel. Listened. Not to the people who are telling them what God said. Caleb and Joshua are telling them what God said. They're listening to what the circumstances say. They say, no, no, we can't have it. And what happened? Numbers 14, it got in and says, and the people wept and complained that night and murmured against Moses and said, we should just die in the wilderness. Let's just go back to Egypt. We can't have the land. Well, what happened? They heard the wrong things. They turned their ear. No, no, you better get this when I tell you this. They turned their ear to the wrong thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse 20, incline thine ear unto my sayings. He's saying, you make sure you turn your ear to the right things. Jesus said, be careful what you're hearing. Why? It got into them. No doubt when God said, this land is your land, they got pumped. Wow, we were slaves. God brought us across the Red Sea. Now we get a promised land. No doubt they were fired up, but then they started hearing the negative reports. And what happened? Faith got in them. Oh, they got faith for the wrong thing, and they were kept out. Hallelujah. And both cases, people were saying things. The woman with the issue of blood, somebody was telling her, hey, lady, here's your chance. Hey, lady, there's a healer coming. Oh, the things we've heard him do. Oh, but and then she probably would say, but doctors can't. Oh, it doesn't matter. He's healing the incurable. He's a Jesus of impossible. Yeah, but if I go out, I can't even get through the crowd. He's not allowed to touch me. I'm allowed to touch him. Oh no, he's full of compassion and mercy. You're right for the pickings for this. What's get in her faith? Children of Israel, we can't do this. The walls are too big. The people are too big. It's impossible, and it's getting in them. Faith, 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 faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. I think for time's sake, Michelle, if you wouldn't mind just go ahead and pulling that right up in the Amplified Bible. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. He's good. If we don't have, can we get it up there, or is it not coming up? I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and the computer will get figured out here in a second. But the Bible says blessed. There it is. Now look at what he means by blessed. You tell me when you read this. Now think about this. Again, Word of God here. Not mincing words. Not just throwing stuff out there for filler. This is Holy Ghost inspired scripture. You tell me if this is the way you want your life to look like in every area. Blessed. Happy. Fortunate. Prosperous. Enviable. People look at your lives and say, man. Man, they got it good. Every single one of you say, sign me up. Sign me up for my children that way. Sign me up for my finances that way. Sign me up for my body that way. Sign me up for relationships that way. All of it you'd sign up for. Okay? Look at what it all hinges on. That person is the man or the person who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at this. Following their, who's the ungodly? following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor this person stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. Oh, don't worry. I'll dig deep and poke to bring this out with examples. Let's go to the next slide. If you'd go to the next slide. Nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Michelle, would you please go back to the last slide? Thank you. Here's what you have to understand. Ungodly means unlike God. You say, well, that must be talking about people that are not born again. Contraire, mon frère. You know, remember? Polio string cheese. They told you that. And they said, ceci bon, whatever. We've been over this before. Dr. Jessica, what does it mean? It is good. The word is ceci bon. Did I do that right? Yes. The word, it is good. That's why I say the word's good. I've said that before. Anyways. All those good things happen. Who lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, ungodly. When I said au contraire, it's because I know some Christians who are more ungodly. In fact, we have family members that really aren't born again, but if you look at their life, they're pretty godly. They're very moral. They go to church. Things, I mean, they look godly. And then we know Christians. You can't find God on them with a magnifying glass. You're searching. Yeah, like dig through, like looking for the fleas. Is God in there? Anywhere. Through your words. Through your actions. Through your attitudes. Where's God? Ungodly just means to not act like God. And it says that the person is blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable. The person who will not take counsel, following their advice. Now think about this. Why? What does counsel turn into? Faith. Listening to the ungodly, whether you like it or not, whether it steps on your toes or not, you don't know. It's turning into faith. Nor stand submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. I'm just going to go ahead and just live my life. It doesn't say to rebuke the sinners, but it doesn't say to live like them either. Well, I'm just going to hang out with sinners who are openly living lifestyles of sin and disobedience to the word. But I'm just going to do it. Just because of pressure, and just because it's family, and just because it's friends, and just because... Go ahead and do it, and you have just disqualified yourself from a blessed, fortunate, happy, enviable life. Oh, I don't know about that, Pastor Mike. Well, don't take it up with me, take it up with him. He's the one that said it. There's two kingdoms in the spirit realm. God's kingdom, the devil's kingdom. If anything that's ungodly... is things that acts, walks, talks like the devil. Which is anything contrary to the word. That's what it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I have to think to myself. It's amazing sometimes I watch things and I just scratch my head and I'm like, what planet are we on? What's my face look like right now? Feels like it looks away. That's kind of conveying what I'm trying to say to you here. But what planet are we on where people take relationship advice from people that have screwed up relationships? I heard one time a younger person getting counsel from a Christian about a relationship. And I sat off the side and said, just waiting for this to be done so I can go and do all that. And I did. I said, and I walked right up to that person. I said, do not listen to a word that person just said to you. What they said to you is ungodly. What do you mean, Pastor Mike? What I'm going to tell you is your answer based off this book. Not what they told you based off feelings and opinions. and self-help books. Yeah, it's the truth. Why in the world, again, what planet are we on? I don't know if I recreated it or not, but what planet are we on where people take financial advice? And I see it all the time. From people who, in their own life, are a financial mess. What planet are we on? You know I'm right. And what planet are we on? That people would turn their ears and put themselves in a path, in a position, and open the very gates that lead to your increase or decrease, and listen to people that are spewing things that are devilish. What's devilish? Anything ungodly. Why would we give an ear and listen to those things? You know what's amazing is I see this all the time. I see it in my own life. You have to be careful not to do this because if you're good ground, you'll guard against these things. I'll see the Durants come in here. And I'll see our people be faithful to the Durants. And people walk out of here, oh, I'm going to pray more. I'm fired up. I'm all excited about the Word. And I'm going to make changes in my life. And then they're not under that constant watering of the Word night after night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. And they get further away from that. And they let other voices in instead of the Word still being. See, the Word in that time was a major voice in their life. Faith was built up for the right things. Oh, I'm going to change. I'm going to do things. I'm ordering all the tapes and CDs. I'm doing everything. I'm ready to rock and roll. And then they get away and they start turning their ears to the media and the world and friends and family members and people and coworkers that don't know a thing about God, who are living in defeat, living in constant chaos and turmoil. And then what happens? That faith goes away. New faith rises up. It's a truth. And this is a shots fired warning message for people. I see it all the time. They go to these meetings and get excited, you know, fired up and get away from the Word. And get away from the Word. Start letting other things come in. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Now, the Bible says that you're not to not only not listen to the ungodly, but it says you're not to stand in their path. And don't even try to use the excuse to me, well, how am I going to reach them? Your goal is not to try to reach them. That's your excuse to get people like me off your back and to justify your own mind. Well, I got to go to the bars because that's where the sinners are at. Oh, that's why you're there to win the loss? Is that why you're there? That's why you're there, right? Because I'm going to go win the lost. Is that why you're there? Don't act like it is. Ease your conscience and ease your mind. Well, I got to sit down and watch the nasty stuff that they watch because, well, I don't want to judge them. Oh, that's why you're doing it? It's not appeasing to your little flesh? You're welcome. Do not stand in the path of sinners. Why? What happens? Well, I want to read this verse and then we'll go back to Psalms chapter 1. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You know what it says in the Amplified? Can we pull that up in the Amplified? I'll go to it just in case we can't get there. 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the Amplified. Verse 33. Michelle, one more verse. Thank you. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships. You say, that person's not evil. No, you have to get the definition, the biblical definition of evil. Anything ungodly is devilish. It's evil. Oh, I don't know. No, that's the word. Anything ungodly is devilish or evil. Evil companionships, communion associations, corrupt and deprave good manners, morals, and characters. Don't you try to act like their stuff won't get on you. Start hanging around the people that claim depression all the time. And all of a sudden, I'm having trouble with depression. Start hanging around the people that, I'm sick, oh, I'm just sick all the time. And you'll start having thoughts and feelings and faith and sickness. Oh, it happens all the time. Yes, it does. All the time. Now go back to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 in the Amplified. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Can't get in the path of them. Me hanging out and going everywhere and listening, turning our ear to them. Yeah, you do that. Stuff that's on them is going to get off on you. It's so true. Yeah, but their family. Well, that's what we talked about last week. Who gives a flutie tootie? Who gives a rip? I want to be blessed, fortunate, happy, prosperous, enviable. I want my family to stay blessed. I don't want pitfalls to come to me. Hallelujah. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, enviable is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, found their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and active in the path where sinners walk, nor sit down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But now look at this. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. What's he saying? I'm not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to be around the ungodly. My delight is godly things, which centers around the Word. His delight's in the law of the Lord, the Word of God, and on His law, the precepts, the instructions, the teaching of God, he habitually meditates, ponders and studies by day and night. And he, who? The person that doesn't go arm in arm with the sinner, the person that doesn't turn their ears to the ungodly, it says that person will be like a tree who has, that the Word is magnified and elevated in my life, shall be like a tree firmly planted, tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth in its fruit in its season, its leaf shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper. Amen. Your choice. Yeah. Your choice. Yeah, I'll say that. Some of you are here this morning, and I'm not saying this as a blanket statement. I'm saying this as a direction of the Holy Spirit came up in my heart. I'm going to say it. Some of you are in the service today, and you would say to people, Pastor Mike is my pastor. Yet my voice is small in your life. You don't want the counsel of what your shepherd would say about to do in your life. You don't want the counsel of what the shepherd... Remember I told you about that woman that came to me that I think I mentioned this Wednesday night, a girl from St. Bonaventure when she started going to Allegheny Church when it was in Olean in the hotel. She was dating somebody that wanted to marry her, and she came to me, and she was getting so fired up for the Word, so hungry for the Word. And she came to me and she said, Pastor, what do I do? He doesn't believe in God at all, wants nothing to do with this. I said, run, run, Forrest. And her name was actually Forrest. No, I'm just kidding. I said, run, run for the hills. Well, but I love him. I don't care. Stop loving him. I know that seems not compassionate, but what am I trying to do? Spare her? You think it's going to get easier when you sign your name and get all that? You think it's going to get easier then, do you? No, it ain't going to get easier then. Try to spare her now. But you know what she stopped doing? Listening to my voice. Didn't want to hear it anymore. Yeah, but I'll steer you the right way. I'll just tell you what the Bible says, praise God. But some of you say, that's my pastor, but my voice in your life is so little. It doesn't have any weight in your life. You've been spinning your wheels, never talk to me about it. Never see, what's the shepherd think about this? What's my pastor think about this? Nah, just my voice is so tiny. Because some of you, by the Holy Ghost, don't want to hear what I'd have to say. And you know that those that are out there, I'm reading your mail like I'm reading it off a piece of paper right now. Amen. And some of you, unfortunately, I was going to say this, I'm not trying to be mean. It's either you or it isn't. Some of you, the Lord has showed me some things of how things can be different in your life. Just got to make adjustments. But you just keep doing your own thing. And you say, oh my gosh, he looked at me. Well, let's remember, I only got a few places to look around here. Then I probably cross eyes with you. I'm not thinking of it, you know, just, it's the truth. You just keep going your own way and doing your own thing. Why isn't life getting better? I just could do this the rest of my life. I'm stuck like this the rest of my life. No, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. The Bible tells you a way to get out of it. How? Start listening to the counsel of somebody or the Word that will help you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Remember the text I sent out that was sobering? When did I send that? Was it Monday? Was it? I don't remember what it was. Tuesday morning. And what did I say? I said, well, let's read it. Let's find out for real what I said. Because I want to say off of this. When the Word is no longer your counsel or your standard, you are now beyond receiving help from God. For His Word is His help. It is dangerous ground to be on. When the Word is no longer your counsel, and the ones who will not heed the counsel of the Word will have to learn the hard way. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 and 27, a great fall will come to those people. Well, go back to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And we'll pull it up in the Amplified again. I know we're keep going back there. So it says, don't stand in the path of sinners. You'll be blessed. Go to verse 2. It says, next slide, that was a two-slider. Yeah, then it says, his delight's in the Word of God. The Word's his thing. Go to verse 3. And that says, well, the result of that in verse 3 is they'll be like a tree firmly planted. Whatever they do will prosper. But then look what it says in verse 4. Not so the wicked. What are the wicked? The disobedient. And are living without God are not so. That they are like chaff. Worthless, dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. You know what that sounds like to me? A fall. What's Pastor Mike trying to do? Be mean and hammer you about your life? No, I'm trying to save you from a fall. I don't like picking up the messes. I don't like it. Matthew chapter 7. I didn't ask, do we have donuts today? Oh, that'll cheer you all up, right? We got donuts after. This seemed a good place to insert the donuts there. Get you happy. Matthew chapter 7. I had a dream last night. This was not a spiritual dream. I had a dream last night that somebody was in my service and all my little mannerisms and everything I did, he just kept mocking me out loud. It was so frustrating. I mean, and nobody was doing anything about it. The ushers were just sitting there. I didn't know what to do about it. And they'd be, oh, we've seen this song and dance before. We've seen this in my dream, he said, we've seen this pony show before. That's what I dreamed last night. That was terrible. I hope it doesn't come to pass. Who is it? Who's going to do it? Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, what's that? Hearkening unto it. It's like a wise man built his house on a rock. The rains come, floods come, winds blow, beat on the house, and it falls not, found on the rock. And here it is, verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them will be likened unto a foolish man built his house upon a sand. What's it mean? The word's no longer your standard. Remember what I said? When the word is no longer your standard or your counsel, you are deceived and you are beyond receiving help from God. Why? His word is his help. And Jesus said, when the word is no longer your counsel or your standard that you live by or do, the rains will descend, the floods come, the winds blow, the beat upon the house, and it will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Wow. Great will be the fall of it. Now, go with me to Proverbs 1. This is really sobering. And I'm going to read it in the King James. And it's a lot to read, but that's okay. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. I want you to see what the Bible says will happen to people that turn their counsel and their ears away from the counsel of the Word and the things of God and balk at it, mock at it, say, To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. I don't know what's any wiser than God. Godly counsel is the wisest counsel there is. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, when you understand the fear of the Lord, when you understand the biblical fear of the Lord, it's not, oh my gosh, I'm afraid of Him. It's reverent fear. It's awesomeness of, I'm in awe and reverence of, that's what that means. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you hate what I'm saying today, you are a fool. I'm just here to tell you. I'm not going to change who I'm hanging out with. I'm not going to change who I'm listening to. You're despising wisdom and instruction. You are a fool. Exactly what Jesus said you are. He said, I have a definition of a fool. They don't listen to the word anymore. The word's not their standard. Great fall's coming. That's fool. Woo-hoo. My son, hear thy instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you. What's a sinner? Anyone not doing the word of God? Consent not, thou not. Don't go that way. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as whole as those that went down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse. What's it saying? The sinners are saying, oh, this is the way. Yeah, you know, your mom telling you that word. Your dad, but pastor says, so he's so extreme. He's just, I don't know, he's just over the top. You know, you go to that church, that tithing stuff, really? Yeah, this is my lifestyle, but I feel so strongly about my lifestyle. Nobody can tell me I can't feel this way. I know, that's why I did that. I was good. Pulling out the guns, praise God. Yeah, come on, come with us. Verse 15, my son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Wow. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. Wisdom does this. She cries in the chief places of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. We haven't got to the good part yet. In the city, she utters her word saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And here we go, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. He's saying, my correction? Turn towards the correction. What's he saying? What you're hearing? Make a change. Now listen to me right now. Some of you are having bullseyes hitting your heart, and he's telling you, make a change. But look what happens if you don't. He says, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded it. Didn't want the word. Just pushed the word off to the side. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and you would none of my reproof or my correction. None of my correction, none of my reproof to you meant a thing to you. You're in church, you know, and you feel, pastor talks about, like last night I mentioned about showing up. And you get in your heart, That's what I got to do. It's best for my family. Pastor showed me. It's in the word. And then time goes by, you just keep doing your own thing. Shouldn't be hanging out with that. You just keep doing your own thing. Do this with your money. Just keep doing your own thing. Now look at what the Bible says. You talk about. See, sometimes we forget how bold the Savior was. You know what he said about people that wouldn't listen to his word? He didn't say, I'll sit there and beg him and plead him and you know, join in their follies so you can relate to them. No, he said, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. He said, don't cast your pearls before pigs to trample underneath. That's what he said. And look at what the Bible says here. No man regarded, but you have said it not all my counsel, and you would none of my correction. Now look at what the Bible says is going to happen. It's not a might. When you hear the word and don't do it, and you hear it over and over, and your life might look a certain way. You know, farmers plant corn in the ground, but you can go out after they plant it, soon after, and looks like nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. Oh, that's not, nothing's changed. No, things are working. Yeah. It's unfortunate that falls and crashes are being in the works right now. You just haven't walked into it yet. Right. Yeah. Gee, thanks, Pastor. You're welcome. You are very welcome. Thank you for your manners. He says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Do you see that? Verse 27. When your fear comes as desolation, your destruction comes as a whirlwind, who's this coming to? The people that won't listen to the word. That keep mocking it, that despise it, don't want any correction with it. Keep living their life the same way, same way. I'm going to show you a verse, and Brother Hagin preached this, and he said this. He said, it is dangerous for somebody to come up to light. What has come up to light? Hear the word, know what to do, and then turn away from it. He said, it'd be better if they never would have heard it. Now you might think to yourself, well then I wish I would have never heard it. No, what you heard is the very seed that's meant to transform and change everything. You're just being so deceived not to do it for whatever reason. But I'm trying to drive home the point, do the word. Listen to the counsel of the word. He says, when your fear comes as desolation, your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes on you. Who? Person that does not listen to the word. Then they shall call upon me, but I won't answer. They shall seek me early, but they won't find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, you might not agree with this statement, but the Bible tells me that people that don't want to listen to the word hate the word. Well, I just don't want to do it. Now, no, you hate the word. He's talking about people that won't listen to the word. He said they hated it. The very thing meant to change your whole life. You know, I think about Jesus. The Bible calls him the chief cornerstone, which you build from, and the Bible also calls him the stumbling block. What's a chief cornerstone? They build from that cornerstone. People build their lives on Jesus, the Word. And some people trip and stumble over the Word like it's someone threw a bunch of logs down their path and they got to jump over them and they're tripping. He's a stumbling block. The same Word. The same Word meant to change your life and help you causes some people to soar into a new life and causes other people to stumble and trip and fall and get into a worse position than they've ever been in before. That's what the Bible says. They would none of my counsel. They despise my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkens unto me will dwell in safety and shall be quiet from fear and evil. This isn't doom and gloom. It's opportunity for blessing. He tells us, even in Psalms 1, it's the same thing. Don't do it, the wicked, they're like the chaff. They're just blown away. They're nothing, no substance. But if you'll listen to my counsel and you'll turn towards it, your life will be blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable. Praise God. 2 Peter 2:21. Let me just say this real quick. If you think that your pastor in his flesh and mind enjoys praying and getting this and being in my office and knowing some of the things I'm going to have to come out and say, and I get a kick out of being bold and correcting, you're wrong. I'm very sheepish and non-confrontational in my natural personality. But Pastor Nancy Dufresne, one of the top two voices on planet Earth that have any access into my life to speak into my life, Pastor Michael Lukedic being the other one, prophesied over me, and she said, you will minister like or in the boldness of Lester Summerall. Now, if you know anything about Lester Summerall, when I heard that, my eyes went, what in the world I got to say? Some of the things that he did and said. I mean, I'm talking some of the things I can't even say that he said because there's kids in here, how he would minister to people, call them up in front of the churches and just cast devils out of them and just go after the devil. But then in his private life, he was just the sweetest, most mild. That's my nature and personality. But get the anointing in me and I'm ready to go after some devils. And we go after some devils with the word, praise God. But I don't get a kick out of it. Does he like standing up there and correcting us and saying, no, I don't get a joy out of that. I get a joy out of seeing you blessed. I get a joy out of following the word. 2 Peter 2:21. Actually, go to verse 20. I'm sorry, Michelle. Go to verse 20. For after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter is worse than them than the beginning. He's saying, those people that came in, got the word, they got saved, they saw some change in their life, but now they're turning away and they're going the ways of the sinner and they're going the ways of ungodly Christians and they're listening to the wrong voices. He says, they're turning away from what they were. Look what it says in verse 21. It would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He said it'll be better the way that they're going to turn out after hearing it and turning away from it, what their result's going to be. It would be better if they just would have never known it. And Brother Hagin would say, it's dangerous to come up to light, to know right and wrong, to know what the word says and say, no, I'll leave that there. It's dangerous. As the word says. And we'll close with this. Go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Praise God. I'll qualify the statement before I say it. I'm not talking about people that give you advice and they have scripture and say, this is what the word says. I'm talking about people say, I think you should parent your kids this way. Well, who are you? Well, this is what you should do with your money. Well, why? Well, that's just what I think. Well, this is how you should conduct yourself in that relationship. You shouldn't go to Rhema, Pastor Mike. God's not a healer. But where's it say that? I had a... Well, let me just read this verse and then I'll say what I want to say. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. What does that mean? They were in. How will they do it? They gave heed. Paid attention. That's what it means to give heed. Remember what Jesus said? Take heed what you hear. Well, these people took heed. They paid attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How do people are in... Now, if you think that it's just talking about people that renounce their belief in Jesus Christ, you're wrong. There are many Christians who are Christians but have turned away from the faith message, have turned away from the healing message, have turned away from holiness. There is a message on my spiritual radar. I'm not going to tell you when it is because you might want to try to skip that one. That the Lord's dealing me on that I've been meditating on about holiness. And some of the way people conduct their lives outside of this place, obviously that's why he's having me preach it, conduct their lives in private, things they subject themselves to, things they do, things, the thoughts they allow in, the imaginations, the things they ponder. The Bible says, be holy as he is holy. That's your standard. Not Pastor Mike, not another minister, God's holiness. Because there's blessings to being holy. But it's not for this time, praise God. But it's on the radar. So maybe I'll have to fake you out in slick text. This is not the holiness message. I'll cross my fingers while I'm saying that. Don't worry about that. That's not the one. It says they'll give pay attention to seducing spirits and doctrines. What's the Bible? Doctrine, like there's the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's the doctrine of faith. There's the doctrine of tithes and offerings. There's the doctrine of forgiveness. What's a doctrine? It's a precept of what God's feelings are, what God's, you know, you can build a doctrine on tithing, you can build a doctrine on sowing and reaping, you can build a doctrine on righteousness, you can build a doctrine on divine healing, you can build a doctrine on prosperity. There's enough scripture in there over and over and over again that allows us to take a stand on a certain thing. We don't just pull something out of the Bible and make a doctrine out of it. There's several scriptures. And he said doctrines of devils. So there's doctrines of God and there's doctrines of devils. Well, what are doctrines of devils? Anything being told to you that's outside the boundaries of the Bible. Now, verse 2, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, the Amplified will make this more clear to you. So it says in verse 1, the Spirit speaks expressly that latter times people are going to depart because they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But how does that happen? Now, Reverend Greer, the prophet, preached on this and just had word to back him up, but he said the number one way people are deceived is through somebody else that's already deceived. Listening to somebody else. That's why I always try to tell people, careful the voices you have in your life. Somebody else that's already deceived, which means they're not living the Word. Their counsel's not the Word. They don't care what the Word says. I'm going to live my life this way. I don't care. That's a deceived person. And then they then turn deceive the other another person. That's the number way it happens. Well, but the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Verse, next slide, please. Now look at how it comes. Through the hypocrisy and pretensions of liars whose conscience are seared or cauterized. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we know this. It comes just like God does His kingdom work through people. You know how the devil does his kingdom work? Through people. I mean, he has influencers. And it says that these people that are led away through doctrines of devils are taught through the hypocrisy and pretensions of liars. The seduction that's going on in verse 1 of doctrines of devils and demons, it's coming through people. People telling you things about how things should be. It's the number one way people are deceived. That's why Jesus said, don't turn your counsel to the ungodly. There's a goal here to try to seduce you away from the truth. I would get Proverbs chapter 1 all the way down to the end of that those verses there in your heart, because it is dangerous. And what happens is, if your standard is the Word, this won't happen to you. I don't care how much you love the person, how much you trust the person. Who cares what I say? If there's anybody in your life that you should be able to trust more than anybody, it should be your pastor. But I'm telling you, who cares what I say? If it's not the Word, who cares what I say? If I don't have scripture on it and could say, this is why this is this, this is why this is that, who cares what I say? And other people, I trust them, they're my family, oh, they're coworkers, they would never steer me wrong. They've been good to me in times past. So what? Jesus said, be careful what you're listening to. Why? It's going to lead to a big fat mess in your life if you don't. If you don't turn your ear towards the Word. There was a lady, and I'll close with this story. There was a lady, this is a little while back in Allegheny, that had come to the church. And the first message I preached, she literally came up to me in tears and said, everything you just said was exactly the answer for what I'm going through. Second time came back, happened again. Well, the Holy Ghost dealt with me to reach out to this girl. So I did through a phone call. I mean, she's fired up about the church. She's already signing up for nursery. I tell her, you just got to hold on. We got to make sure you're normal. We put you there, you know. I appreciate your heart, but we got to make sure, you know. Just throw anybody with our kids. We ought to be grateful for those precautions, right? I mean, I knew she wasn't, because she had a friend that, you know, knew her and knew her well, but so you got to wait, you know, but thank you. That's awesome, you know. Most people are running from nurseries. You're running towards it. That's what we want. People that run towards it. David ran towards the battle. You got to run towards the battle. You can take on those kids. You can do it. And anyways, and so she's over the moon about the church. She's like, I've always been sensing there's something more. There's something more. Well, I knew she went to a church from trusted people in Allegheny that this church, and did my own little research on it, that they don't teach the Bible. It's what you call seeker sensitive, which is what? Just fluff. Don't believe in the Holy Ghost. Don't talk about the Holy Ghost. Don't believe in divine healing. Don't talk about miracles, signs, and wonders. Don't mention a thing about what to do with your money. Will not tell you how to raise your kids for fear of offending you. All the stuff, you know? And so she's telling me, I just always sense there's more. Always sense there's more. I said, well, what you're sensing is your spirit's hungry. And you've come into the church. You know, it's like, I wish I could go back and remember the first time my little lips tasted pizza. It must have been glorious, right? Because I keep going back to it, right? And you know the time you tasted something, I was like, well, she got a taste of something. And her spirit said, oh, I want that to eat. What I'm getting fed is not that. I want that to eat. And so I said, that's what you're experiencing. I said, those people aren't bad people. And they're Christians. They love Jesus. I said, but your job is to be get fed, the word to grow. So I had on my heart to call her. The Holy Ghost told me, warn her that she's going to see and hear things that she's never seen and heard before. And the things that we see and hear we're talking about are spiritual things. And the Bible says that the spirit man cannot, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. You start talking to somebody about praying in tongues and your mind will try to jump off the cliff and take you with it. Tithing, forgiveness, no matter what. I mean, stuff like this that can't be figured out naturally, that's figured out by the Spirit. You can't figure these out in your mind or your flesh. Your flesh sees things. You know, that the whole doctrine with raising hands and speaking out in church and worship. A lot of people don't do that because their flesh and their mind is so loud. Right? Because you can't, like, for me, I'm not naturally that geared that way. And so for me to do this in church was a very monumental step to break through. But I had to realize, just because my flesh is angry, just because my mind is confused, doesn't mean it's wrong. The Bible tells me it's foolishness. This was foolishness to my flesh. This was foolishness to my mind. Actually, praise Jesus out loud in church was nuts from where I came from. But that's what the Bible tells us to do. But that's the way it is with a lot of things. And so I called her and I told her, I said, you're going to see some things and you're going to experience some things in our church that are going to rub your flesh the wrong way. I said, but. And I gave her my backstory of how it happened to me and the whole story with the Durants. I don't have time to go into that. But I had a similar experience where I came into this church, saw and heard things that, remember what I thought, man, we're not in the Twilight Zone. We're in the granola section. The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. I thought, that's where I'm at. I'm in the fruity, the flaky, the nutty. I want to run for the hills. But I was smart enough and wise enough to say, you know what? It's not about how I feel or what I think or somebody's opinion. Is this biblical or not? Because if it is, it's my job to transform and conform to that, not to conform to me. So I told her, you're going to see things. She said, oh, it doesn't matter what I see here. This place has changed my life. Things you're saying are the answers that I've been looking for forever. I said, but just recognize this. Well, the very next service, Pastor Mike gets it in his heart. I know it's 11:35, I'm going. Pastor Mike gets it in his heart to call up for heart problems. Well, let's see. Two people, I believe, came up. And one I laid hands on, a gentleman, came back and testified the next week that he went back to the doctor and things had changed. The one woman, I laid hands on her, and she dropped like a ton of bricks. The power of God went through, and bam! Well, is that falling out stuff made up or fake, or can we explain that by the Bible? You can explain it by the Bible. When the power of God hits someone in the Word of God, they went down for the count. Does that mean you fall every time? No. But the anointing's not as tangible all the time, or it's different measures of power at times. I know there's times I didn't feel a thing, and then there's times I couldn't even stand up if I wanted to. You've been there, right? And so she saw that. I've never seen anyone fall out before. I've never seen people lay hands on sick before. When you not come from that stuff, I remember not coming from that stuff and seeing that in the Durant service and thinking, what in the world? You know, what planet are we on? Remember back way back in the message? That's what I was thinking. What planet is this? What are these people doing? Are they, is the minister pushing them over? Are they in cahoots before, you know? And anyways, she sees that. Well, just to kind of give you an idea of how good God is. I was grieved when those two people came up. Not because they didn't need what they... But I knew there was something else. And a lady comes up to me from the back after service is dismissed. She was there with her husband and their children. They haven't been back since. She comes up to me and she says, will you pray for my husband? I said, well, what's going on? He has a serious heart defect that is not... The prognosis is not very good for him. I said, and I knew why I was grieved, because he didn't come up when the anointing was calling for heart problems. And I said to her, I just called for that. And he's already out the door and gone. But my point is, that was a move of God in that service. But that woman didn't understand that. She's never heard people call things out before. She's never heard words of knowledge, because that's what it was. It was word of knowledge. The Holy Ghost gave me something, and there was someone that needed that. It would have changed their life. And she's never seen people fall out before. Okay, that's fine. But the smart thing to do is then what? Pastor, I don't know what kind of church you got, but this is what I saw there. Is that biblical? That's what a mature person would do. And so I try to get a hold of her because she's all of a sudden vanished. Up and gone. And remember, a week ago, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm hearing every answer I have. In fact, she's. I have to almost calm her down about how down she is about her former place. Oh, no, they're so wonderful people, you know. Because I'm not out to put anyone down. But now she's running back to that place and meets with her pastor. The one that teaches anti-Bible stuff. If you teach against healing, that's a doctrine of the devil. It is. So we have somebody who's deceived, and the dangerous thing is he's in a position of power and authority. And so many Christians are just baby birds. They think, that's Pastor Mike. He's behind the pulpit with a nice knot in there, and he's got a ministry. He's got two churches. Everything he says, I should just listen to. No, everything I say, you should listen to if it's the Bible. That's why I told Jake. Remember, I've told that story many times. Jake, when Jake was a mess and came to me, what was it, 6 years ago? Took him to Applebee's. He's a mess, addicted, sick in body, sick in mind, sick in emotions, broke financially. And I said, what I'm about to say to you is going to be crazy to you. I said, but let me finish the statement and qualify. I said, everything I say to you, just do it. I said, but everything I say to you is going to be only out of this book. Well, here she is. Don't be this way. Going, and this is what we're talking about, not turning your counsel to the ungodly. When people tell you things that you trust and you love, as if the ones you trust and love can't be deceived. Sometimes that's the very people the devil will use, because he's like, if I can get that person to speak in their life, I know they'll just listen to that person because they have such a high regard for them. As Reverend Greer would say, that's bunk, junk, and hogwash. And so she trusts her pastor. He's in a position, even though weeks before she's telling me how he's not teaching the word. And she's not getting anything out of it. And he tells her, that's not God. That's excess, and that's flakiness. And that you don't want to be there. And she won't even return my text messages. And you know, I'm not going to pursue somebody and get a restraining order. I know when enough's enough. She's not returning my calls. The friend that she came with that's still faithful in the church, she's telling, oh, I'm going to get a hold of Pastor Mike. Won't do it. Why? Deceived. Gave heed to a doctrine of devil. Started paying attention. What did it do? Took her out of her help. Don't do it, people. This is your answer and your help. Amen? Amen. Were you helped? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, we're so grateful. You're just trying to spare us from calamity. Lord, you didn't say calamity might come. You didn't say destruction might come. You said when it comes. Jesus, you didn't say that people that balk at the word and turn away from the word, that maybe there will be a fall, or if they luck out, they can avoid it. No, you said there will be a crash. Why head down the road of a crash when today is a day of change? Today I'm going to do things the way God says with my children. I'm going to put my kids where they need to be. I'm going to speak things the way they need to say. I'm going to do the right thing with my money. I'm going to do the right thing with listening to people and not heeding the... You can make a change today. Don't. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You keep sowing that, you're going to keep reaping that. And you'll walk into a harvest that you don't want. And that's what this message is about today, to spare you from that. Father, help everyone here this morning. Lord, you know my heart. I don't have to try to justify my heart. You already know it. I love these people so much. And Lord, the devil would love to destroy them and use people to speak lies into their ears. Use trusted people. Use people that at one point might have even been so good to them. Help them in a dire situation that love them. It doesn't matter. The word trumps family, friends, co-workers. The word trumps what ministers would say. The word. I pray the word would be big in their heart. in Jesus' name. Now, the head's bowed and eyes closed. As I look around this room this morning, I am fully confident that everyone here, well, yeah, I thought I was fully confident, but I'm not. This is such a great message to bring this out today. Jesus said, there's one way to heaven. It's through Him. That's it. Your thoughts will tell you that, I don't know. People will tell you, oh, that's too exclusive, you know. That's too uppity. And Jesus said, I'm the only way. If you're in this building this morning, and I believe that there is at least one, because the Holy Ghost stopped me when I said I was confident. You've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is not the time to balk at the Word and just, someday I'll do that, or things get bad enough. Listen, you're not joining the church. All you're saying is, I believe in you, Jesus. And I want to be saved from my sin and forgiven and heaven bound. But if you're here this morning and you could say, Pastor, I don't know if heaven is my final destination. And if you think it is, it's not about thinking it. It's not about hoping it. It's not about wishing it. It's about knowing it. But if you're here this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed, I promise you, you've been here before. You know I'm not going to embarrass you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't let this moment pass you by. God is reaching out to you this morning. It would have been easier just to close service up, but the Holy Ghost said no. For that person here that's not received Jesus, or if they are listening online and they haven't received Jesus, don't let this moment pass you by. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone in here today? You could say, that's me. I'm on the outside looking in. I want to receive Jesus this morning. Would you lift your hand high in the air? Please, nobody look around. If you've never done it before, don't let this moment pass you by. Is there anybody that wants to receive Jesus? Lift your hand high in the air. Father, I don't see a hand. And so I just say this, if this person or people are listening online or in the future via the archive, or if the person in here just didn't want to raise your hand, thank God it's not about the raising of the hand. It's about believing in Jesus. And say, well, what do I do? Just in a private place, just declare your belief in Him. Just simply say, Lord, I do believe in You. I believe You died and rose again. And I ask You to come into my heart. If you'll do that, and then look up John 3:16, you're saved. You're born again. That's as simple as that. And Father, I pray that the person or people that need to do that, they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. Can we stand to our feet together and worship Him and thank Him? He's sparing us today. Because the devil's going to send people. The devil's sneaky and deceptive, and he's going to use people you trust and people you love and people you care about. But the way you stay safe is you bring what they're saying to the Word. If it's not the Word, it's sure destruction. So, Father, we thank You for sparing us today. Devil, we know what your tricks are. And we thank You the Word has first place in our lives. We give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Wednesday. You're dismissed.